Alrighty, well, welcome again to the house of the Lord as we celebrate. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Again, thank you to the worship team. So much work they put into leading us, and the sound guys and the tech guys for the live stream. If you are joining us via live stream, welcome. We're so blessed you're able to be with us as a part of this service. And just thank you so much for all they do, so much that goes on behind the scenes to do an outdoor service. Isn't it awesome, though, to be outside? Amen. You know, my sister-in-law, she said to me, as she's been coming for many years, she said to me, you know, how is it that you guys have great weather every Easter? You know? And I say, well, it's a lot of prayer, that's for sure. I'm always looking at the weather. And actually, last year, when everything was shut down, we did a live stream sunrise service from the water tower up here in Yorba Linda. And then we came here to the church, and I was going to do service in the courtyard live streaming, but it started raining. So it was like the 1 year that we didn't have an outdoor service, it rained. God is so good. And of course, this is why people say, why do you live in Southern California? This is why. What a beautiful, beautiful day. Again, if you're visiting us this morning, someone invited you, we just want to give you a warm welcome. Hopefully you've been blessed. Hopefully you feel at home here at our church. Again, we're just normal people gathered together to worship an incredible God. Okay, that's all we are. We don't see ourselves as anything special. We just have the special love of God placed upon us. And we pray that today you would meet that same Lord, if you don't know him, that we have, that he might touch your life, that he might transform your life, and that he might minister to you. We would love for you to be a part of our fellowship. Of course, that's why we're here. We gather every week on Sundays, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We gather together to study God's word. Calvary Chapel is a movement that has been built upon the word of God. And that's what we want to do. We want to take an honest look at the word of God. And so what we do is we just go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we just open the scriptures and we look at what God's word says. We try to keep it very simple, very relevant, but very to the context of how the word of God is written. Listen, we have nothing to give you except Jesus. You need to know that. There's nothing I've got for you this morning if it's not found in the word of God. There's no like cool, slick stuff I can come up with and, you know, entertain you guys. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not planning to entertain you this morning. So I hope you're not sad if you're not, you don't get entertained. But I am planning this morning to share with you the reality of what Jesus does when he comes into someone's life and he transforms them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would love to be able to give you one of our gifts. We have a welcome center right over by those stairs, kind of in that little corner over there. We do have a cup for you this morning. If you're new here, we have these available. We'd love for you to get one. There's a cool pin in there and just some info on our fellowship. And so we do have white ones and black ones with our church logo on them. Great little coffee cups. Just a free gift for you. Just to say thank you for coming and hopefully for you to remember us. And if the Lord leads you to come back or to pray for us, if you are a believer and visiting us. And so we just pray the Lord truly touches your heart. Well, this morning we want to look at the true hope through the resurrection found in 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, we do have Bibles on the tables over here. I'm sure you can access them on your phones if you don't have a Bible with you. But we will be turning in our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter in the New Testament. It's more towards the end of our New Testaments. And we want to look at what Peter says here about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to start by just reading verse 3. We're going to look at verses 3 through 9 together here this morning. But we're just going to start by reading verse 3, then we'll pray and we'll get into the scriptures together. Peter says this, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that you would truly open your word to us this morning, that we might, Lord, see you for who you are, that we might have hearts that are open to you, and that we might have ears, Father, that can hear your word. Lord, I pray for all of us that are believers here that love you, Jesus, that you would just minister to us through your word. Father, I pray for those that, Lord, might not be, Lord, a believer yet, that today you would just show them who you are. You would reveal yourself to them as you have done to me and so many of us here, and that they might know that you are a true and a living God, and that you're in love with them, and that you, Lord, want to see them reconciled to you, that, Lord, they might be in relationship with you, that they might know you intimately and deeply in a real way. Father, none of us, Lord, are here today. None of us are interested in religion, but we are interested in the God of creation, who loved us so much that he sent his son to bear our sins, to go to the grave, to rise in again the third day, that we might have an eternity sealed in heaven with you. Heaven is not about a place where there's happiness. Heaven is about a place where God dwells, a place where we get to be in fellowship with you forever. And of course, there's happiness there. But Lord, we're not going to a better place. We're going home. And so, God, I pray you'd open our hearts and remind us of that. And we thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, as I was praying about what direction to go in the Word of God today, of course, this is my 26th Easter message that I've done here at our church. And, you know, as I was thinking through it, of course, normally we'd go to the Gospels and we would talk about the morning of the resurrection. And the Lord really directed me to a message of hope. And that's really what we want to talk about this morning, hope. I mean, I think for sure this last year has been a year where we have experienced a great need for hope. Our country, our world is in desperate need of hope. Boy, it's been a long, long year. It was just there a couple weeks before Easter of the year of 2020 where everything in this world changed, where this world shut down, and where people begin to isolate, people begin to separate, and people begin to become hopeless. But I want to tell you that the world will try to offer you hope in this or that, the hope that things will return back to normal, hope that you'll be able to have the things you once had, hope that you'll be able to go to your favorite restaurant and not worry about social distancing, and hope of this, hope of that, hope of these different things. But I want to tell you that the only hope that you and I can ever experience is the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. He's the only one for hope. You think about the social tensions that are going on and have been going on in our country. How is it that we're going to find reconciliation? What are the answers? And of course, the politicians are trying to come up with their answers. And you have people, and I'm certain here in this crowd this morning, that we would have great debate amongst ourselves about what to do politically with our country. Of course, I'm not interested in getting you guys to debate. So just, you know, take a deep breath. Okay. But really, where is the answer for reconciliation? I'm going to just tell you every answer that you need, that I need, that this world needs is found right here in the Word of God. It really is. Amen? Yeah, amen. If you agree, clap. You know, let it be known. Like, I'm telling you, the Lord didn't miss anything when he wrote his word down to give us as a roadmap of life. And we find it here. And Peter writes to a people that are suffering, a people that need hope. He writes here to what he calls in verse 1, the pilgrims of the dispersion. That are those that have been dispersed abroad. Those that have been dispersed because of political unrest, because of spiritual or religious persecution. They have been scattered. They're no longer in their homelands. They have been scattered abroad. And he tells them, what you need is you need to remember that you need to bless the God of hope. See, that's how he starts. Verse 3, look at it with me. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. The word blessed be, the word be is actually added by the translators. If you have a Bible that puts those words in italics, you'll notice the word be is in italics. It means it's not really in the original writing of Peter. He's saying this, bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying is what we need to do is we need to start by blessing God. We need to start by worshiping God. We need to start by giving God the praise that is due his name. What for? He says, because according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is this blessed hope that he refers to. The hope that you and I have comes because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Now, what's really important for us to understand here is what he means when he says that we have been begotten to a living hope through the resurrection. The word begotten is a word that speaks about being born again. In fact, Peter refers to it in chapter 1 here. There in verse 23, he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. But the grass withers, its flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Now Peter here tells us in chapter 1 here, again in verse 23 through the end is what I just read, if you didn't catch that. He says, having been born again. What does it mean to be begotten? To be born again? What is Peter referring to? Of course, Peter is referring back to what Jesus said in John chapter 3. And I want to read it to us kind of by way of introduction this morning. John chapter 3, it's a story about Jesus and the leader, the teacher of the Jews in Israel. This is the main guy. His name is Nicodemus. He's the main guy. And he comes to Jesus. I'll pick it up for you in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you have done unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is the leader of the Jewish people, the people of God, the people of the book, the people of the what we know as the Old Testament. He's the one that's teaching them. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus just says, hey, we recognize that you must be, this is what he's saying, you must be the Messiah. We know by the signs you've done that you've come from God. So what's the message from God? And that's exactly what he's saying. What is the message from God? He says, Jesus says to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you or he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, didn't understand, like maybe some of us don't understand what that is. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man who is born, or how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus was a literalist, okay? He was like a true scholar, right? He was like, I don't understand. How does that work? Can a man that's like my age, like weird, that's just weird, be born again? So what do you want me? And kind of probably some sarcasm here. Oh, what do you want me to do? Go back into my mother's womb and be born all over again? And Jesus in verse 5 answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus has now said this twice. How many of us this morning are concerned about ourselves entering the kingdom of God? You know, life is so unpredictable. There's no promise of tomorrow. You realize that? I think this year has made that very, very aware to many of us that death is a real thing and could happen to anyone at any time. Of course, with COVID-19 and everything that's gone on, I'm certain that almost every one of us here probably knows of someone that has died because of COVID-19. Many of us that are sitting here today have had COVID-19. And praise God, we've survived and we're here today. I remember just about a month and a half ago doing a funeral service here in the courtyard of a friend that I had the opportunity to share the gospel with, watched him get born again, as Jesus is saying, and baptized him. And I did his service here because he was at a Christmas gathering and there was 26 of them or something at the gathering. Some 24 of them got COVID and he didn't make it. The rest of his family did. It's very real, the reality of death. Now, of course, it's not just COVID-19 that could take our lives. I mean, we were praying this morning before service and Pastor Dana said, "Hey, can we pray one more thing after we said amen?" And he said, and he started praying for the accident that just happened on the corner this morning here. And I don't know what happened there, but anything could happen. We could drive out of the driveway today, get in an accident. As a pastor of 26 years, I have seen the young, the old, all the same, to have their life taken from them suddenly and without warning. Jesus says, listen, if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm really, really interested to make sure that I am going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Where are you this morning with entering the kingdom of heaven? It isn't a thing off in the distance. It isn't that place up there, you know, way beyond, you know, in yonder there. It's not a better place. The Bible tells us exactly what that place is. The Bible tells us exactly what it is. It's a place with God where God dwells. But here's the problem with you and me. They don't let sinners into heaven. You go, that's not fair. Actually, it is. What would heaven be like if there were sinners there? It wouldn't be heaven. You see, the great thing of, and this is the great thing, I got good news for us today. The great thing about heaven is there's no sin in heaven. Amen? I mean, yeah, I mean, that is great news. Maybe you haven't thought through that. But I'm talking about a place where you can't get hurt, a place where you can't fail, a place where you can't do wicked things, A place where you can't even be tempted to sin because it doesn't exist. That's heaven. And that's what all of our hearts long for. A place of holiness, a place of purity, a place where we can gather together and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You were created for fellowship with God in a perfect paradise. That's what God, if you open the Bible and you come to Genesis chapters 1 through 3, we see that God created the earth and created a garden, and in that garden, it was a place of fellowship with God. A place where you and I could fellowship and to know Him intimately. But sin entered in, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, the third chapter of the Bible. And from that point on, we saw corruption, destruction, death, pain, agony. And then Jesus Christ comes upon the scene. And He says, listen, Nicodemus, here's the answer to your real question that you want to get at. Is that you must be born again. So explaining what this is, in verse 5, Jesus again says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is saying is that there's a second birth. The water is not baptism. The water is physical birth. That's the context. That's what he's talking about. Do I need to go back into my mother's womb? To be born physically. The second thing that he's referring to here now, the second birth, which was what we call it, is to be born a second time, to be born again. And that is to be born spiritually. And he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, verse 6. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus is saying it's not something you can see. It's like the wind. You actually don't see wind. You guys realize that? And here in California, we know all about wind, don't we? And anytime the winds are coming, my wife gets upset. It's just not a good day when the winds come. She doesn't like the winds. I agree with her. I don't really like them. But, you know, she'll wake up in the morning and look at the weather and say, oh, no. And I'm thinking something really bad happened. It's part of my life. My wife is very, she's a verbal processor. And so she processes things out here. Well, I have to deal with that all the time. So my heart goes up and down a lot. But nothing actually. Now, you would think after 26 years of marriage, you would think that I've learned by now, but I guess I haven't, because, you know, she'll, oh no, and I'm thinking she read a text, someone died, something really bad has taken place. What's wrong, babe? It's going to be windy. Okay, well, that's good news, actually, from where I was going. Praise God, it's going to, you know, praise God. You don't see the wind, but boy, you certainly see the results of the wind, don't you? And you feel that wind. And that is what Jesus is saying. It's like when someone is born spiritually, you don't necessarily see them like when we go to the hospital and someone has a baby and, you know, there's a newborn baby. But it's something that happens, but you see the effects of it. If you have been born again, you know it. If you're here today and saying, I don't know if I've been born again. Well, again, I'm not getting in the kingdom of heaven unless I've been born again. I don't know if I've been born again. And I want to tell you today, you probably have not been born again. There is an effect in your life, a change, a transformation that takes place in your life when you are born again. And that transformation is the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's, how do we get born again? What is it? Why do I need to be born again? Because spiritually, you're dead. Spiritually, you're dead. And you need to be brought to life. There needs to be a resurrection spiritually in your life. And that resurrection can only be in your life because it was in the life of Jesus Christ. Because He rose, you can experience spiritual life. It's an absolute beautiful promise. Of course, John 3 is most well known for what? John 3:16, where he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus goes on to talk about how is a person born again. They're born again by believing in the Lord. Now, I won't read all the verses to you, but if you go on there in verses 17 through 21, Jesus makes it clear, hey, I didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but the world's condemned already because of their sin. But I've come that man would be saved. But for man to be saved, for man to believe, he has to come into the light. He has to approach God. You and I have to come to God if we're going to be saved today. Have you done that? Have you come to God? Have you said, Lord, my life is yours. I want to come to you. In John chapter 3, it goes on in verse 36 to say this, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. It's really simple. If you believe in God, and belief is an action, belief is moving towards God, belief would require a turning from your old life and turning to the Lord. That's what the word repentance means, to repent, to turn towards God, to come into the light, to come into a place of obedience to the Word of God. And of course, you can't really do that without His help, but He's here to help you. He's here to transform you from within, that you would be born, that you would have life. He says, you shall have life. Not you will get life when you go to heaven, but right now, presently, and this is the hope I want to talk about with you this morning, right now, presently, you indeed will experience life. This is eternal life. Jesus says in the same gospel, John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, I want us to think about this for a minute. And I realize that most of us today are believers. And then there are others today here that maybe don't really know what they are, or know indeed they're not. And of course, we want you today that are not believers in Jesus Christ. We want you to be in heaven with us. We want you to do more than that. We want you to experience the hope that is now for you. We want you to experience knowing God, eternal life. And so we invite you today to come and to know the Lord. And I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this message to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and come and give your life to Jesus Christ. And I just pray that you think about that right now. That as we go on here in this text, that you think about what I'm saying. That you think about where you are. It's the most important decision you can ever, ever, ever make in your life. More important than you, what career path you take or what person you marry, because it's eternal and it's important. But for those of us today that are believers, I want us to hear this. Spiritual life, eternal life, doesn't start when we get to heaven. It started the day you got born again. And Jesus says here, it's knowing God and it's knowing Jesus Christ. That's what he says, John 17, 3. This is eternal life, that they might know you. Now, I want to just pause for a minute and say this. The most amazing thing that I have ever experienced in my life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, amen. It isn't a religion. If you think that, you know, you come here today and you think this, I absolutely want to just make a statement. I hate religion. Okay, am I the only one? I mean, I hate religion. I'm not looking to be religious. I'm not looking to jump through some hoops so God's going to give me favor. I've read the Bible. That's not there. You can't get there through religion. I don't care how many hoops and how high they are and how great of a jumper you might be, you'll never get to heaven by that. We get to heaven by the sheer abundant mercy of God, by being begotten to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And I mean, that is awesome, because I'm an idiot. I really am. I'm not just saying that to sound like, you know, whatever. I am an idiot, and I know that, and many of you that know me know that, and the Lord definitely knows that. And I'm not the only one here, by the way. By the way, the word idiot in the Greek, it just comes from the word fool. Just a fool. I'm just foolish. Religion is not what we're talking about. We here at Calvary Chapel Saving Grace aren't teaching on religion every week. We're talking about a relationship. We're talking about knowing God. And apart from Him revealing Himself to us through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we can't know God. I wouldn't know God. But I mean, you know, what kept me from coming to the Lord, I was raised in the church. I was raised in my mind, religion. Of course, there were those there that had relationship with God. I was raised in that atmosphere. I decided as a young man to turn and do my own thing, to live, you know, in the world, to begin to dabble with, you know, smoking cigarettes, which led me to smoking marijuana, and drinking, which led me to harder, you know, drugs. And you know, before I knew it, over just a summer, I was, you know, taking hallucinogenics and, you know, LSD. And I mean, literally, I went into junior high from, you know, in those days, we, you know, sixth grade was elementary school, junior high was the seventh grade. And I was born and raised here in Yorba Linda. I went to, Rose Drive Elementary School. And between leaving Rose Drive Elementary School and going to Yorba Linda Junior High, now called the middle school, I was a full-on drug addict. My life was messed up. And I went on through my junior high years like that. I went on through my high school years like that. I went all the way to the age of 21. I started when I was like 13. I mean, I had become a drug dealer here in Yorba Linda. I was, heavily involved with, selling cocaine and, just speed. It's really, really bad drugs. And they mess you up. Staying up for days on end, hallucinating, not because of LSD, but because of the lack of sleep and drug. Just a messed up guy, okay? So I want to tell you, and I'm an ugly guy at this time. Just an ugly person. My wife and I have a pretty awesome testimony. And I've got some friends here today that went to high school with me. We went to high school together. I knew her because I actually dated her best friend's little sister. So every day I would be at my girlfriend's house and my wife would be at her friend's house, and it was the same house. And her boyfriend, when he wanted to do bad things, he would come to me and my friends. "Don't tell Debbie." And he'd come buy drugs from me. Okay, so this was like the world we lived in, okay? And I remember I probably don't even remember this, but I remember it because she's told me it so many times, but I'm at my girlfriend's house. She's at her best friend's house. And she says, "Hey, Trent, maybe you want to hire." I was a construction guy. I had a little construction business. "Maybe you want to hire my boyfriend." She didn't say that. She just said his name, Jeremy. I knew who he was. And then I just, you know, the foul language started coming out of my mouth. I was just this ugly person. She's like, and I'm just like, "Oh, why would I want to blank, blank, blank that?" Rah, rah, rah. That was her impression of me. It was a true impression. That's what it was. And I want to tell you, I got born again. I mean, I got born again. My life got transformed. My mom prayed for me every day. And I got on my knees and I just said, I was by myself in my room. By the way, I was the first convert of our church. Okay? Long story, I can't share it all with you. It is our anniversary, but my brother came to the Lord. Same, him and I were in the same group of people, came to the Lord. And, you know, was working on me. He started a little Bible study. And I left that Bible study. It was on the deck of my parents' house. And my bedroom was the door right on the deck. I walked 5 feet from that Bible study. I got on my knees. And I said, God, if you can, I'm willing to give you a week. But I don't think you can save me because I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. By this time in my life, I had gotten clean from a lot of drugs. I actually prayed, being an unsaved guy. You know, I prayed, God, save me and save me from these drugs. I quit drinking. I quit doing drugs. But it was sexual immorality. It had me. And I knew the gospel. Listen, my mom preached the gospel to me every day of my life. And you know what the gospel was, according to my mom? Jesus loves you. If you die tonight, you're going to hell. It was true. That's what I needed to hear. Amen. Sometimes you got to just speak truth, okay? So I knew I'd be out there doing crazy stuff, thinking if I die, I'm going to hell. Like I knew it. The fear of God was in me. Thank you, Mom. I'll never, ever, can never thank you enough for preaching that message to me. And you know what? I gave my life there on my knees, just God. I didn't know what to pray. I just help. And I got born again. And my life, amen. And my life began to radically change. But you know, let me tell you what are the greatest things about that time in my life. Is I realized that it wasn't just becoming good. It wasn't just I need to get better. I need to stop smoking. I need to stop cussing. I need to stop living an immoral life. It wasn't that. It was God loves me. And God wants to be in relationship with me. And his word, and the part that I've left out through all this is totally dyslexic. Grown up, not able to read. I mean, I didn't have a Bible for the first 6 months of my salvation. And I couldn't read. Why would I have a Bible? I mean, come on. And, you know, and most people don't understand that whole thing. But I want to tell you today, and I'm still very dyslexic. I'd be considered illiterate. Those that are very close to me know. If I go to a restaurant, I don't read the menu. I look at pictures. If it doesn't have pictures, that's why I fell in love with Denny's early on. But they just had great pictures. If it doesn't have pictures, I don't know. I just order a hamburger. I don't know what's on that. You know, I learned to eat simple, by the way, by doing that. God prepared me for missions. But, you know, just completely dyslexic, completely illiterate, definitely not going to be a pastor. There's no way on the planet Earth than getting up in front of people and doing anything about speaking, especially reading. You got to be kidding me. I would ditch school when it was an oral report. No, consistently. I ditched school so many times. I finally did graduate by God's grace when I was 21 from Troy High School. But I graduated. I dropped out, went back. Anyways, I got born again. All of a sudden, I have this hunger for the Word of God, for reading. Of course, I'm doing everything audibly. I still do that. That's how I do my devotions. And, you know, God began to transform me from the inside out. Why do I tell you all that? Because when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, this is what he accomplished. This is what it means to be begotten to the gospel, begotten by a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just want to tell you, it's not like, oh, I did that. I got better. I'm good. Now I move on in my life. Life just began. The way I explained it, you know, some of you that are in my generation, you'll get this. Those of you that are younger, just, you know, just, I don't know, hit pause for a minute or something. But, you know, you guys remember the rabbit ears on the TV? So I'm looking to some of those in my generation. Like, the rabbit ears, right? And then we'd put like tinfoil on the end, you know, to get a little better reception. You know, some of you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. That's okay. And you know, the picture was just like fuzzy, and you'd move it around, and then, you know, you could get it like, oh, a little better. And then, you know, they came out with like cable and satellites, and it was like, wow. And then they came out with this thing called color versus the black and white. I guess that came out a little earlier than the satellites. But, you know, it was like black and, I remember black and white. By the way, if you watched our Good Friday service, we had an issue with our technical stuff. And so the picture was all these bad colors. So the guy said, the only thing we can do is just go to our black and white. Do they have that feature on our live stream? They do. That's Good Friday. Let's go with black and white. And Josh Gow is on the bass. I mean, he's saying all kinds of stuff on Facebook that night about me being like, you know, leave it to Beaver or whatever, you know, he was saying. And but, you know, the way I would explain my salvation, because before I came to Christ, I wanted to party. I wanted to live life. I want to go to church. Okay, you know, one day I got to get there because I got to get saved before I die. That was really my mindset. But I don't want to be a church person. I mean, boring. A boring, miserable existence. But when I came to Christ and when I got born again, and trust me, I experienced all the fun a person could experience for four lifetimes, quote, in the worldly sense. And when I came to Christ, it was like when they came out with the, you know, HD. You know, it's like we got these big screens now. It's just like, bam. I'm watching a basketball game. And it's like, dude, I go to a Laker game. I'm a huge Laker fan. If you're not, I'm sorry. Okay? But the Lakers are awesome. The colors of the Lakers are heavenly colors, purple and gold. Anyways, amen, son? Yeah. Okay. And those Celtics fans and 76ers, just, you know, whatever. You know, but I'm watching a game. I go to the you know, Staples Center. I get tickets. We go to the, I'm like, man, it's better at home. I mean, you can just see it so much better. Like, I was like sad after I spent like $300 to go to a game. It's like, and that's what it became for me. When I think of life, it was like I was living that black and white rabbit ear tinfoil TV. And all of a sudden, it came to color, HD, big screen. And I'm sure it's beyond like what's Blu-ray. I don't know. Bruce could tell me, you know, what all the stuff. But like, that's what life became. That's what Jesus Christ has for you Christians. For us that are believers in Jesus. Don't leave today and not recognize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has transformed your life. And if you've settled for this black and white or just color TV without the HD in your Christian experience, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom I have sent. Like, to know God, to be an intimate fellowship and relationship with God is what is ours. And here's the amazing thing about knowing the Lord is it never gets old. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I mean, 30 years I've been studying the Bible and I feel like I'm an infant. I'm in third grade. You know, and listen, you cut me, I bleed Bible. I do. Purple and gold and Bible. I bleed those two things. I bleed Bible. Bible is in me. I love the Word of God. It's transformed my life. It's transforming my life. But I want to just tell you, I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry for, because there is no depth that you can reach that God doesn't go deeper still. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new Christian today or if you've been saved for 70 years. Jesus Christ is the living God, not the dead God, not the God that's on a cross on some crucifix, but he's the living God with the empty tomb, resurrected, dwelling in our hearts, dwelling in our lives, so that we might have life. That's the gospel. And today, Christians, I believe it's a day of renewal. It's a day where we say, enough with the flesh, enough with the compromise. Why do we not experience life? Because of the compromise. Because we let the world dominate and dictate our lives, because we're not open and seeking God, not surrendering our wills and trusting in the Lord and opening His Word and saying, whatever it says, God, I want to do it. That's it. You know, that is the, if you were to say, what's the kind of theme of this church? This church started with a bunch of young people. I was the first one that got saved. Many others got saved. And it started with us saying, we have no idea what we're doing, but we know the Bible is the truth. So we're just going to read the Bible and do it. And we'll just see what happens. Really, that's how simple it was. And so we begin to read the Bible. We begin to do our best to obey the Bible. And 26 years later, time would fail me, as the author of Hebrews says in chapter 11, to tell you of, there he says, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jethro, as he's listing all of the greats. Time would fail me to tell you of all of the other testimonies, the other stories, not just mine, but all the other stories of what God has done and is doing. I have traveled the planet. I have been to more countries than I can count, literally. I've been to those countries multiple times. 26 years of engaged in international gospel preaching, church planting. I have seen the poorest of the poor. I've been in slums that you couldn't even take a breath. You talk about double mask, you want to, you know, triple mask in those slums to survive the smell. I have been in some of the most amazing, amazing mansions, sitting with millionaires. And I want to tell you, Jesus Christ died for every one of them. And Jesus Christ has a hope for every one of them. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. The only hope that we have today in this life, in this world, is Jesus Christ. Church, this is the message God has given us. Are we sharing it? Are we sharing this message? Like, read the Bible and do what it says. Let the Word of God pour out of your life. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you haven't been born again. Today, the Bible says this, today is the day of salvation. And I want you to begin right now to think about, am I willing to stand up and to come up front? Because I'm going to do what we call an altar call. Which it's a call to say, I want to get saved. Jesus said, confess me before man and I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Are you willing to just say, yeah, that's it. I don't care what anyone here thinks. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I want to be cleansed of my sin. And I want to come to Christ. But let me just say this. Coming up front today is the first step in what it means to have a relationship with God. But it's an important step. The second step is that you would then begin to get into the Word of God. Begin to, we use the word, be a disciple. That just means to be taught the Word of God. To grow in the Lord. You can come up today and leave and it doesn't make you, it's not like, I stamp my ticket for heaven, I'm good. Remember, there's radical change that's going to take place in your life. It's great change. It's awesome. You're actually going to like yourself, you know. And today you might not like yourself so much, but you're actually going to begin to like yourself. And so I want you to think about it. And I want to give you that opportunity to respond. Maybe you're here today and you've been backslidden. Listen, life is short. One of my good friends who was at that Bible study, who was a part of the birthing of this church, died this week. He was found in a park, dead. I don't know what actually happened. But I want to tell you, there's no guarantee. He took a path, knowing God, of rejecting God. It's tragic. It's heartbreaking. I pray somehow the Lord reached him. But I'm here to tell you today that we don't have the guarantee of life. And I'm just going to read one verse. I know I said I'd go through verse 9. We're not going to do that. But I just want to read one verse here in 1 Peter. And then we will turn our hearts towards opening them to the gospel and responding. Verse 4 simply says this. This is what is the blessed hope. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the gospel. This is what you'd be saved to, an inheritance that cannot be taken away, cannot be defiled, cannot be destroyed, and will never grow old. I want to just tell you, a relationship with God and ultimately heaven will never get boring. You know, sometimes people think, well, what will we do for all eternity? You know, just up there with our harps, you know, sitting on a cloud. Wrong picture of heaven. That's not a picture found in the Word of God. Never will it grow old. Listen, if my relationship with Christ on this earth in a broken world and a sinful body doesn't get old, heaven in a perfect, holy body to be able to enjoy the Lord in his full capacity will never, ever grow old. And today we pray that you would respond to the gospel. I'm going to invite up our worship team right now, and we are going to sing a song together. And as we do, I want you, if the Lord has directed you, if you feel like, hey, I want to today come to Christ, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to come forward, and we're just going to pray for you. I'm going to have a few of our pastors up here available to talk to you, to pray with you. Again, this isn't a show. This is between you and the Lord. And so right now, I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to minister and to speak to those of us that need to make that response and need to come forward. And then as the song plays, we're just going to ask you to come up. So I want you to feel free just to come up if that's you. Father, we just thank you so much for your word today. Your word is life. God, thank you for the testimony of the resurrection in my life and so many others. And today, Lord, what we do is we pray that that would happen in the lives of those that are here with us today that haven't yet experienced it. We recognize that it's only you, God, that can save. It's only you that can do the work. And so, God, we pray that, Lord, people would respond that need to respond. Holy Spirit, I ask you to do that work as only you're able. We just thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. As we sing,